Oliver Callan on RTÉ Radio 1, sponsored by Get Set Go. Get comprehensive car insurance today at getsetgo.ie.
Faljash Arish. Now, let's talk to this fella. He's been nominated for a Grierson Award for his documentary. The Griersons are basically the BAFTAs for documentaries, essentially. It's a huge, huge deal. The programme he made is really striking and original. Blind Boy, The Land of Slaves and Scholars. It was like a fresh perspective on the legacy of early Irish Christianity. It's kind of another sign of Irishness doing massive things on the world stage. To think that a doc about a subject that we considered to be parochial only to us has so fascinated this very austere judging panel of documentaries in Britain. He's nominated for Best Presenter, having knocked Louis Theroux, of all people, off the shortlist. And Blind Boy is live in his studio in Limerick City. Good morning.
What's the crack, Oliver? Thank you so much for having me on.
Not at all. Delighted to have you on. How are you keeping anyway? In good form?
I'm fantastic here. It's the weather in Limerick is quite violent. I enjoy it.
You enjoy it?
I do. I like... I just, look, with the thing with summertime is there's an anxiety to summertime because when the sun comes out, you don't know how to enjoy it properly. Like,
that's,
you know,
true,
should I go to the beach or should I put my clothes out to dry? But with the misery, with the misery of November, you can trust that you know it's going to be miserable, you know?
No pressure on you to do anything.
Yeah.
I was thinking about you this week because of the presidential inauguration of Catherine Connolly, kind of like the first sign that her campaign was a grassroots campaign that we'd never really seen before. I think it was when she went on your podcast. Was that a surprise to you that that happened?
I try to avoid having like politicians on my podcast.
Yeah.
But with the president, it's different. I mean, I had Michael D on the podcast about 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's why her people reached out to me and asked, you know, would I have Catherine on? And I suppose the reason I had her on is like, I agree with her on a lot of politics. I agree with her on policies. I think I'm very, very happy that she's the president. Even though the Irish presidency doesn't carry a lot of power,
no.
I think the real power that an Irish president has is the capacity to create discourse. And she's going to do that over the next 8 years, you know, whether it comes to housing inequality, she's going to create that discourse. And it's very important that we have a person who's going to challenge the government. And I think she's going to do that.
To influence is what you mean.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Influence the conversation. What about the inauguration ceremony itself? I don't know if you got to watch it. It looked a bit like we've taken the British royal rituals, stuck a flat on it, maybe with a bit of mass as well for all the faiths.
Yeah, I mean, I don't like ritual of any description. So here's the thing, whether it be politics, monarchy, religion, the art world, they all use like ritual and spectacle to create this. It creates a sense of inevitability and seriousness, right? But that then hides the fragility of the power. And solemnity, which is the performance of seriousness, underneath it all, it's always something very, very silly. Like even if you take monarchy, like the silliest ritual I saw was when your man who's the king now, Charles, when he became king and I looked at his ceremony and it was so foolish and silly. But when you strip it down, like what is a king? And a king is I had an ancestor long ago who was profoundly violent. This was a very violent person.
Right.
And now I own everything that he got through violence, and this silly hat that I wear, the ritual around this silly hat and this silly gown, this entitles me to this. It's absolutely absurd. And that's why whenever you see the rituals and solemnity, whether it be religion, military, politics, the art world too, humour often isn't allowed in. Because when you bring humour into that space, now all of a sudden it's absurd. Everything has to be... like, it's important that we make a distinction between seriousness and solemnity. We can be really serious about something, but also be silly at the same time. Like you do this, Oliver, you know, when you're doing satire, I can tell, like, you really care about this. You're trying to take something apart here. You're being silly and you're wearing a silly wig, you know, but you're still being serious. I try and do the same thing. Like with this documentary, this is a serious documentary. I really care about early Irish Christianity. For me, what I care about is early Irish Christianity. When Christianity came to Ireland, It wasn't just Christianity. It was the new technology of writing. That's the thing. And I'm a writer, and we're a country, a small, small country, where we have so many very, very important writers throughout history that have made an impact around the world from this small country. And I think the beginning point of that was when the technology of writing came to Ireland with Christianity, you know, and we really made it our own.
And we were one of the greatest writers, weren't we, in all of Europe?
Yeah. When the Roman Empire was collapsing and writing was disappearing, we were making it our own. Like, Irish monks invented spaces between words, punctuation. And that happened because we had this rich oral storytelling tradition, thousands of years old. And now all of a sudden, when you introduce spaces into writing, writing stops being about collecting data and it becomes an art form. Now you can make the page sing. There's a song in there. And that's what Ireland did to the technology of writing. But back to the point I was making about solemnity. Like, this was an RTE1 documentary. An RTE1 documentary, it's a very serious thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't get good reviews. It got hammered in the reviews. Now, I kind of like that. Okay. If I'm doing something that's strange and the reviews are saying that it's bad, I know that that's a good thing, because it's upsetting. It's upsetting people in the right way.
Who are expecting it to be conventional.
Yeah. And one of the critiques that the documentary got was he didn't even explain why he had a plastic bag on his head. And that's what I wanted to do. Not only do I have a plastic bag in my head in this very serious documentary, at all times I'm accompanied by a dog that has eyebrows.
Oh, yeah,
and I never explain it. And I didn't want to explain it. And James Cotter, my co-producer, who wrote it with me, we'd never wanted to explain that. We wanted the absurdity. Let it be absurd. Because also the subject matter of the documentary is, we're looking at hagiographies. And hagiographies are the fantastical, ridiculous biographies of the Irish saints, which were just made up for the crack. Irish saints were written about like they were Marvel superheroes.
Yeah.
I mean, Bridget, Saint Bridget. I mean, she could control bees with her mind, I think. There was another fella, Saint Kevin. He had his Bible robbed by an otter. Mad stuff. Very entertaining.
But you're obsessed with otters.
I do enjoy an otter. I think otters are fantastic. They're just strange animals. I love the fact that they have an area called a couch. I love the way that otters don't do peas or poos. They do something that's a superposition between a pee and a poo called a sprint, which is great. Imagine that.
I can't wait for your otters documentary. I can't wait for that one. Well, I think the thing you have the most fun in the documentary is discovering, you know, the Irish, and they're mostly monks who have slaves, teaching the English how to write.
Yeah. Slavery was part of, we know that from Patrick. I mean, St. Patrick was a real person. And, you know, what did St. Patrick do? The most important thing I think St. Patrick did is he's the first person to write anything in Ireland. That's what Patrick did. He wasn't the first Christian. There was Palladius about 60 years before him.
Right.
But Patrick wrote his confessions. And they're brilliant. They're written in Latin, you see, which means that we can translate them perfectly. And Patrick's confessions, he sounds a bit like Father Ted. He's a bit, it's the end of his life and he's gone, some stuff happened, right? And the money that was given to me, it wasn't mine. So it's like the money was resting in his account. So we don't know what that was about. And then he gives us lovely little insights into Irish culture. My favourite one being, obviously he mentions that slavery was widespread in Ireland, which it was.
Mm-hmm.
But he mentions that the practice of male nipple sucking. Patrick said that when he got onto a boat, that the sailors, when they met each other, they used to suck each other's nipples.
This is in St. Patrick's Confessions.
Yeah, this was a thing in Ireland, was the whatever was going on, instead of shaking hands in ancient Ireland, men sucked each other's nipples. And it appeared to be a power thing.
I'm not sure we can bring that one back.
I'd love to bring it back, I think. But here's the thing, why can't...
It'd be an interesting inauguration, wouldn't it?
There you go. Why can't we have, like, Irish politicians have to wear these suits where you can just unfold the breast, and then like Simon Harris just has his nipple out and someone has to suck it.
It's kind of made, yeah, yeah. It's an easy design.
But again, the nipple sucking thing, you know, 1,000 years ago, that was probably very solemn. Now, if I was to suggest that, why can't Simon Harris have a flap in his suit where another politician sucks his nipple? That's absurd. That's ridiculous. That's preposterous. But I'm just saying, 1,500 years ago, Patrick was going, this is how things were done. This is what the Irish did. And we can see how seriously it was taken, because with bog bodies, when they look up bog bodies that are dug up, these are ritually sacrificed. And something that's quite common with bog bodies is the nipples were cut off.
Right.
So that's, something about nipples, power, kingship. And we can't know, but what some people reckon is that pre-Christian, in Ireland before Christianity, the king was married to the land, and the land was a goddess. And if there was crop failure, if there was bad weather, it was basically blamed on the king. It's like the king did not get the land pregnant. And the nipple might have been some conduit between the land's fertility and the king.
That might
and
make
that's
sense.
Why nipples were so important. That's why the bog bodies had their nipples cut off. And that's why Patrick was saying these lads were sucking each other's nipples.
Well, at least we still have the land obsession, but the nipple was not so much.
We held the land obsession, but we got rid of the male nipple sucking, and I think we should bring it back.
Speaking of the kind of serious and solemnity, one of the most lovely parts of the documentary, you're interviewing Moncal McGann. Another thing that stands out about the documentary is you're not in rooms with books or anything behind you all the time. It's like, what are you, in a stone circle with Moncal?
We went up to the Cairns in Sligo.
Oh, yeah.
Moncal was a great friend of mine. He showed me an awful lot. I'm heartbroken that Moncal isn't with us anymore. And the last thing that me and Moncal did together was this documentary. I brought him on as a guest, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We spoke together for about an hour.
Really?
In the center of it. That's one of the things that annoys me about television. Like me and Moncal spoke for an hour, but maybe only a minute of it ends up on TV because you have to edit it down.
Yeah.
That's why I prefer podcasts. But we chatted for an hour about everything I'd spoken about just there, about the land as goddess. And the thing is with Moncal, we've really lost something massive. We've lost so much with Moncal gone. He had an ability, his understanding of the Irish language, he knew how to go right back to the meaning of words and to use that to understand our mythology. And just another thing about, like, our indigenous mythology is very, very important. They're not just stories. And I focused on this in the documentary too. Mythology tells us about biodiversity. It tells us about nature. It tells us about the land. Like, one of the places I went to in the documentary was Onigat Cave up in Roscommon.
Yeah.
And this cave is the origin story of Halloween, okay? Yeah.
It's my favourite part of the doc, by the way.
Oh, thank you very much.
That mad episode.
The thing is with the story of Halloween, it's not just about spooky, scary demons, right? Really, it's a story about the cycle of nature when you don't have writing, okay? So the story of Halloween, or Samhain, is in this cave in Roscommon, Onigat. It's still there. You can go in there now.
Yeah.
On the 31st of October, or thereabouts, demons or fairies or whatever you want to call them would release from this cave, and the veil between the other world and this world would be thin. And then these demons, and I think the Morrigan is there. She's like a scary crow type figure. There's a horse with bad breath. All of these horrible creatures come out of this cave, and then they strip the land bare. And then the next day, there's no leaves on the trees and winter is here.
Yeah.
So really the story of Halloween, it's about biodiversity. It's about nature.
It is.
It's how our ancestors knew. Halloween and winter is coming. It's going to be cold. We can't write this down because we don't have writing, but we do have this wonderful story.
But you know what's beautiful about it, Blind Boy, is that we've kept it, and we know that the exact spot that people have been, you know, honouring that whole tradition for centuries, thanks to people like Moncal and also yourself now.
It's good that we have it, but what upsets me is with climate change, a lot of the stories stop making sense. Now, what I mean by that
I know what you mean, yeah.
Right now in Limerick, we've got the big storm is happening. We've got an orange warning, we've got a yellow warning, right? But every year you get a storm like this around the end of October. And what this storm does is it strips all the leaves from the trees. So today in Limerick, I can look out and there's leaves on trees. They're hanging off them, but there's leaves on trees.
Yeah.
Tomorrow they'll be gone because the big storm is coming. That should have happened 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
I know, and there's less frost that, and so on, and that was all connected to the land for centuries.
Yeah.
Now we've changed. We're getting the exact weather that the climate scientists have warned us about.
Exactly. And our mythology, the mythology isn't making sense anymore because the climate is out of sync. The biodiversity is out of sync. So now our stories are losing meaning.
Well, listen, the documentary is fantastic. And that's why it's been nominated for this huge award, the Grierson. It's happening next Wednesday next week.
Yeah. I have to go up to London for that. I've never gone to a documentary award.
Yeah, sound
to
like
any
your,
awards in my life.
I was about to say, it doesn't sound like your thing, but this is worth going to. So you're going to it.
I kind of have to go to this one. It's too big.
You have to go to it. And,
but I have to dress all smart casual. So I've just been looking at photographs of Graham Norton because he's very good at smart casual, you know. So I have to figure out how to dress smart casual.
Graham Norton with the bag, I presume. You'll have to wear the bag.
I have to wear the bag, of course. But that's the other thing as well. I don't go to award ceremonies because I don't want to wear the plastic bag on my head for four hours. It means I can only eat soup through a straw. So I have to figure out a way to wear the bag. Yeah, and then take it off and mingle amongst the crowd and be anonymous.
Listen, good luck. We'll let people know here how that's gone. And the fun thing is that Blind Boy, The Land of Slaves and Scholars, is on RT1 television on Monday night at 10:30.
Oh, yeah.
And it's on the player as well. Good luck to you and stay safe in the rain.
God bless. Thank you very much,
Thanks
Oliver.
Thanks a million. Bear-boo-a.
Email oliver@rte.ie. RTE Radio 1.